Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. David mentions to Nathan the prophet a desire of his heart. I want to begin reading at verse 1. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." Now think about this for just a moment. Here's Nathan the prophet, and he's visiting at David's house. He's making a call, and they're sitting there talking, and David just says, "You know, I live in this beautiful home of cedar, and I want to build something for God. I want to build something." And Nathan, whose heart is just overjoyed with hearing this, says, "You do whatever is on your heart." And then verse 3, "And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying," isn't it interesting how many times God spoke in the night? When you're fast asleep, and then all of a sudden God would speak to his servant, wake him up. And there's something always startling about being awakened at night. Anybody experience that? You hear a noise, or your wife punches you, "Did you hear that?" And you have to get up and go check it out. Or, "What was that huge boom?" We all went running out a few weeks ago because we heard, sounded like a bomb going off. And it was the spacecraft that had shot over Milton, landed over in Panama City Beach in the water out there in the Gulf of Mexico. It had broke the sand barrier as it was traveling over us. And boy, I thought it was a bomb. I heard it, and I can't hear much. And I didn't have my hearing aids in, but I heard it, and I said, "Something just happened." Well, we started looking on Facebook, found out that it was SpaceX that had landed over in Panama City Beach area in the water. And, you know, it's startling. My heart was pounding. I didn't jump into bed and go to sleep real quick. It was a while before I got settled down and was able to do that. There's something startling, and God woke his prophet up, and he said the following, "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off thine enemies from before thee, and I have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I will tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house." And then we have the testimony of how God was going to bring Messiah out of David's family. That was the house that he's talking about. And the wonderful things that are there. But the response of our Lord to David is most gracious. I want to talk about this fact of getting a no when you want a yes. Getting a no when you want a yes. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we open your word. Give wisdom and understanding, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first things that I have always noticed about this passage is that there was a good man, Nathan, the prophet, that said to the king, "You just do what you want to do on this." And God said, "You go back and tell him I don't want him to build the house." It is a reminder to us all. And I think we need to be reminded of this because we live in these days of just do what you want to do. You just do what you want to do. Yeah. No. Here was the prophet of God, the same prophet who would confront this king about Bathsheba and about the child and tell the story of the lamb and so forth like that. This is the same prophet. He's a good man. He's a godly man. But he gave incorrect advice. Now, I just want to say this, and this goes to me and everybody else that's in here are earshot. We are not God. And we need to be reminded of it often. We are not God. I've had people tell me in the past, and I've heard people say this about different individuals that they loved and knew and said, whatever that man told me to do, I did it because I knew it was God's word for me. And all I could say was, he's not God. He's not God. Can he be wrong? And immediately, well, I've never known him to be wrong. Never known him to be wrong. He's always right. Well, then you don't know him very well. I've had that said to me, and I've had to scratch my head, and I've said this from this pulpit. You don't go out of here and say, well, Pastor Todd said it. It must be the gospel. You get your nose in the Bible, and you check it out to be sure, because no man is an oracle. You know what an oracle is? An oracle is the place where good and right answers come. The only oracle that you and I know is God Almighty. And when we start shifting our attention downward from Him, and we put it on people, we say, ah, whatever that person tells me to do, I'm going to do it. This is a reminder. God spoke from heaven to His servant and said, when you get up in the morning, you go tell my servant, he's not building my house. Now, God was very gracious, and I'm going to point this out. But it's a reminder that we may be good and well-intentioned and godly and still give incorrect advice. Who should we go to? What's the reminder? Go to God. Well, I already heard what I want to hear. All my friends say I ought to do it. You know how many young people have done stupid things because all their friends said to do it? You know how many adults have done stupid things because all their friends told them to do it? Sure, yeah, that's great, that's wonderful. Pat on the back, go ahead and do it, yeah. Cheerleaders. And then disaster comes. Everybody told me that I should do that. Well, maybe you should have gone to God first. Nathan didn't go to God. He just spoke from his heart, and it was the incorrect message for the king, David. Now, Nathan takes his message, and he goes directly to David and tells him everything God said. And that included the fact that David's family had been chosen to be the family from which the Messiah would come. So there's good news in all of this, amen? But I have some other thoughts here. David wanted to do more than God commanded. Is that horrible? I don't think so. I think sometimes we could be ultra critical of David here. I want you to think about this. It's a wonderful place to be in a relationship with God when you want to do more for Him. I think that's a good thing. What's our problem today in churches all across America? And I talk to pastors on a regular basis, and the thing that I hear is that I've just got a small percentage of our people that just are on fire, and everybody else just is kind of bumps on along. They show up, and that's all they do. Said, I wish I could get them all involved and get them excited about serving the Lord, but it's just not the case. Here was David, who wanted to do more for God. He said, I live in this beautiful home. I want to build him a house. His desire was not bad. What he wanted to do was not in God's plan. Do you see the two thoughts here? His desire to do more for God was a good thing, and God's going to honor him for that. He said, David, I want you to know that I'm going to send my son through your family. I'm going to build a house. I'm going to give you a throne. I am going to give you an eternal place in my will. But I can't have you build my temple. Too much blood on your hands. Can both things be true? Yes. A resounding yes. I can desire to do more for God. I just have to make sure that I'm doing what He wants me to do. And here's where we get into trouble. I'll tell you a story from whenever I worked for Gator Farrington out at the restaurant cleaning out his azaleas. And Roger and I went over there and we cleaned out his azaleas. Eric Woods and Kent, we were a whole group of us. And we whittled those things down to about that tall. And I remember Gator came out and he said, "What did y'all do? Where's my azaleas?" "Well, you said you wanted to prune them back." He said, "I didn't want to kill them. I just wanted them pruned back a little bit." Now, he didn't get upset with us. He's very kind to us. But we went too far. We weren't supposed to do it that far. Now, we had raked the whole area. We cleaned up the parking area and stuff like that. But for that season, his azaleas were this tall. All right? Now, you know how long it takes for azaleas to grow back and to get back into blooming form after they've been whittled down that far? It probably was 3 or 4 years before they ever had blooms out at Gators on that thing. But it was embedded in my mind, we went too far. We were supposed to prune it back, but not all the way down to the thing. I had watched Dr. Hobbs do that a dozen times with his azaleas, and so I said, "Hey guys, let's do what Dr. Hobbs did with his azaleas." But Dr. Hobbs had a different plan in mind, all right, for his azaleas. It's all right, Christian, to want to do more for God. May our tribe increase, but make sure that you find out from Him what He wants you to do. That's the difference. We want to do more for God, but at the same time and in the same phrase, we ought to say, "I want to do more for God, but I want to make sure that it's what God wants me to do." That's what this whole account is about. God had a plan and He unveiled it for David. Something that had not been shared before. That he and his family were chosen of God to be the lineage in which the Messiah would come. Is that good news? Is that exciting? You betcha. As a matter of fact, you look at the response of King David here. Verse 16, "And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?'" He doesn't skip a beat here. He doesn't sit and say, "Well, I really wanted to build that temple." And by the way, God honored him by getting all the supplies together, correct? He got all the supplies. He didn't build it, but he got all the supplies together so his son Solomon would be able to build it. But he didn't whine and complain about the fact that God said no when David wanted a yes. How many times have we prayed for a yes and we got a no? Or we just decided to go do something and God just kind of closed the doors, stopped us dead in the tracks. Oh, I want to tell you something, folks. That's a good place to be because you know God's working in your life. That's a good thing. God loves you enough to show you when not to do something as well as know what to do. That's the two-sided coin of the will of God, the no's and the yes's. And I imagine if we started over here and worked our way across the auditorium, every one of us could give an illustration of how God said no when we wanted a yes. What else do we learn? Though the Lord refused David the realization of his wish, He did it in a most gracious manner. He did not put the idea away from him in anger or disdain, as though David had cherished an unworthy desire, but he honored his servant even in the non-acceptance of his offer. That's how wonderful our God is. Even though he had to say no for the building of the temple, he did it in such a way to encourage his child David and to share with him things that he never dreamed of. And he says, "What? Who am I?" Verse 16, "Who am I that you should speak to me in this way and about my family for years to come, about how you're going to raise up your son from my family?" He was overwhelmed. Another lesson, David now knew that God didn't want him to build the temple. Did he know that before? So he got a piece of very important information. What do you do when God gives you information? What do you do with it? There's several reactions that one can do. One can pout. All right? "I can't believe God said no." Well, wait a minute. Stop for just a moment. Are you infinite? Are you eternal? Do you exist on your own? Are you independent? No, you're not. You're finite. You are dependent. And you have very little power other than what God gives you. So first of all, stop the whining. The second thing, well, I think God's wrong about this. I think God's wrong about this. That arrogant attitude that prevails today in our society, that we somehow know better than God. The whole gender, non-binary group is an arrogant response to God's word. Are you listening to me? It's all about arrogance. God said this. Hath God said? Yeah, he did. I don't believe it. I'm going to share on Sunday what's happening in the United Methodist Church. I'll just share this. 5,000 churches have left since 2022. They are bleeding churches. Anybody know why? Because in 2021, they went woke. They decided that it was all right to have homosexual preachers, and then they decided that years ago, that it was all right to have women preachers, and then they had all these other new things that were along, and that God and His grace and His love does not criticize people who simply love each other. What did they do? They took the grace of God and they soiled it in the mire of their abomination. And so now, churches are leaving in droves. They interviewed, I've got an article that was written by the Christian Post on this, interviewing the pastors who said, "We could not abide by our denomination ridiculing the Bible and what it clearly says, reinterpreting everything." There's one more thing and we're done that I want you to see here. God promised to build David a house in which the Messiah would come. God made a promise to David. Are God's promises good? Yeah. Are our promises good? No. We always fail. I remember years ago when we were raising our kids, I'd promised them after church that I was going to take them for ice cream. I ended up staying late after church on a Sunday night. I got home, and they were all anxious, ready to go get ice cream. And I said, "No, we'll have to do it another time." And it just crushed them. And rightfully so, was told by my wife, "You just broke their hearts. You promised them that you were going to take them for ice cream, and you didn't do it." Now, that was on me. I let my emotions get the best of me, and I didn't fulfill my word. Now, I did take them out for ice cream later, but it wasn't the same. Because Daddy had said he was going to do it after church. Be careful what you say. God is always careful what He says, and He always backs it up. Amen? That's wonderful. God always backs up His promises. So God made him a promise. And He said, "My son is going to come through your family. Do more for God within His will. Don't be afraid to hear a no from God. Be careful when sharing ideas and helping people to make decisions before you've checked with God. Before you pat somebody on the back, you need to go do that. Stop!" And say, "Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer." I don't have an answer, but God does. That's the great lesson of 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Good people, good man, godly man, a prophet of God, gave an incorrect advice to his servant. Now, God didn't go into Nathan's life and destroy him because he gave wrong advice. How many have given wrong advice? I put my hand up. All right? We've all given wrong advice. If you haven't, then... Okay? All right? God is among us, you know? No, we've all given wrong advice. We've said things that we wish we could take back that we've told people. All right? But I want to tell you this. When you go to God, you'll always get the right answer if you wait on Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your goodness. Lord, help us to realize that sometimes we want a yes, but You're going to say no. That's okay. That's wonderful. It means You're actively involved in our lives and You're sharing with us Your will. I pray that we might learn from this and that we might be helpful to others by not always just spouting out yes, 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 yes all the time. Sometimes they need to hear a no. If we're truly the kind of leaders that we ought to be, the kind of helpers we ought to be, fathers and grandfathers, Lord, help us to realize that we need to seek Thy face first, and then we can be the most help. I pray now Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.